We begin the current daf, Mesechtes Bechoris daf Memches. We begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of this perek regarding Yesh Bechor, regarding the laws as they apply to Bechor Adam, specifically regarding the laws of Pidyon HaBen. So the Mishnah tells us as follows. Mishle Bechor Ishtoi, someone that his wife had never given birth before. The Yaldish Nezacharim, and then she gives birth to two boys. So the Halach is Nisen He Slom Lekayin. So he gives five slum, which the amount of pinya ben to the kain, because although he doesn't know maybe which son came out first, but either way, one of them was the firstborn, which was a male, and therefore he's obligated in the mitzvah pinya ben. But says the Mishnah, meis echad mehen b'teich shleishim yoyim, but let's say one of the two sons dies within 30 days, which is not yet obligated in the mitzvah pinya ben, unless he lives for at least 30 days. So says the Mishnah, ha'av pater. So the father's exempt from giving the five slum to the kain. Because he could tell the Kohen that maybe the firstborn son is the one who passed away. And that's because the Kohen wants to collect monetarily, he doesn't have an obligation. Now the truth is, it's not only the father would be exempt, even the other remaining son, who, if he's the firstborn son, would have an obligation, he's also exempt. But the reason why we say Ha'av Patr is only because we want to say the next case regarding when the father passed away. But everyone's exempt because we don't know which one, but when they're both alive, so okay, Mamanov Shach, either way you're obligated. But one of them passes away, within 30 days, then the father's exempt. Now, says the Mishnah, regarding this case, that when there's two sons that were born, again, we don't know which one came out first, and Mei Sa'av V'Abanu Kayamim, so the father, we said, Mamanov Shach, he's obligated to give five slum. Let's say the father passed away, and the two sons are still alive. So Meir Mei says as follows, again, the father's not alive, but so are the sons obligated? Well, if we knew who's the firstborn, he would have to give his own redemption if the father never redeemed him. But we don't know who's the firstborn son. So Meir Mei says as follows, Im nasnu ad shelo chalku, if they gave together from the father's estate five slum before they didn't separate and divide the inheritance, nasnu, then what they have given is valid because that was the father who from his estate, and that was the obligation, and they gave from that. But vimlav, but if not, then paturin. But if they already split, then they're exempt, as Gemara will explain this halacha. Now Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees. It says, no, the estate, the father's estate, had already the obligation that it was taken upon it to give to the kain, just like a regular creditor, and then they have to pay up the father's debt amongst the two of them, because they're inheriting those assets from the father. The father, if he would have been alive, as we said, Nisen he slum l'kain, he has to give five slum, so though he's dead, but although each one says, hey, maybe I'm not the firstborn, but the father's estate says, Rabbi Huda has the obligation of it. Now the Mishnah continues with a different case. Let's say his wife that never gave birth yet, and he wasn't in the room, and she gave birth to Zachar and Nekeva, male and the female, and again, we don't know which one came out first, then in kan l'kain klum, then the kain doesn't get anything, because the father could tell him, maybe the girl came out first, and the kain gets the lower hand, because like we said, he has to, the onus of proof is on him, to show that it was the son that came out first, and since he can't, he doesn't get the five slum. Now the Gemara goes to clarify and explain this teaching of Remeir, who he said that when the father died, and the sons are still around. Again, we don't know which son was the firstborn. So Remeir said, look, if they gave before they divided the estate, okay, that's a valid giving. But if not, they're exempt. So the Gemara asks as follows. Demisa av emas. This is we said the father passed away. When did he pass away? If he passed away after his twin sons were already over 30 days old. And that is the Gemara. Baham Remeir ki chalku paturin. In such a case, would Remeir say that if the sons already divided the inheritance amongst themselves, then they're exempt from giving the five slum to the kain? But v'ishtabnu lu l'nichsei, like the wording of Rabbi Yehuda seems to be correct. What do you mean? The father's estate already has an outstanding lien on it, an obligation from the father, who they were already 30 days old. He had the obligation, and the estate already has that lien, so they would have to go ahead and fulfill that obligation of the father's estate. Ela demis b'teich lamadim. So what are you going to say? No, the father died when they weren't yet 30 days old. So that has to be more than on the other half for the halacha. Then ma'ishna ki chalku, then why are you saying that, okay, when they divided, if they divided already, so there you say, oh, if they divided, so then they're going to be exempt. Why? Because you'll say, the azl gabi hayu madchile. The kain's going to go to this son, and he's going to reject him. And he's going to say, I'm not the firstborn, my brother. the Ozel Gabi Hayu Matkhel, he's going to go to the other son. Again, because the obligation was never on the father. If anything, it was on the sons. Because the father died before he was 30 days old, and the obligation only starts at 30 days. So the Kohen's like, okay, one of you boys are the Bechayr, but each one could say, hey, it wasn't me, it was my brother. And he could say, it was my brother. The Ozel Gabi Hayu Matkhel. But in that is the Gemara, if that's the case, that we're talking about that the father died within 30 days, then Kilei Chalkonami. Then even if they didn't divide the inheritance yet, so there you said, oh, then Nasnu, then they have to give the 5 slum. Why? Leizel Gabe Hai V'lit Chaye. So okay, the father's estate, but again, it was within 30 days, so the obligation was never on the father. So they didn't yet separate and divide the estate. But still, who are the caregivers of this state? The 2 sons. So Leizel Gabe Hai V'lit Chaye, go to this son, he'll say, no, the obligation wasn't on our father, it was on us. And we shared together this estate. That's not my obligation. And let him go to the other son, and he'll reject him too. And you can't say over here that, oh, no, the father's estate is still intact, and therefore he'll collect his obligation because of the father. Because like we're saying, if we're explaining the case, that the father died within 30 days, the father never had obligation at all. The whole obligation is only because of the sons. So why are we saying that, oh, if they gave, then that's a given, which sounds like, but that if they didn't divide yet, they'd be obligated. But why are they obligated if each one could say, well, I'm not the firstborn, you can't collect from me. So Ben Yirmiyah, he says, this tells us as follows. Let's say a similar idea. Shnei Yosef ben Shimon shehoyu bi'ir achas. If there were 2 people with the same name, he was Yosef, his father's name was Shimon, and they lived in the same city. Now, there was one person that had a debt was owed to him by one of the Yosef ben Shimons. But each one was rejecting him, saying, no, I'm not that Yosef ben Shimon. Rather, my friend was the one who owes you the money, because they have the same name. Now, the Lakhui, then they went, these 2 Yosef ben Shimons, between the 2 of them, they went and they purchased Sad the Beshutfis, a field together in partnership. So the creditor could collect what it's owed to him from half of the field. Why? Because the Amalei, he could tell when it comes to one of the Yosef ben Shimons, he could tell him as follows. He says, look, if it's you that owes me the money, I'm collecting your half. You're right, I can't collect the whole field because the other Yosef ben Shimon, only one of the Yosef ben Shimons owes me. But I'll collect your half. And if it's really your friend that I'm collecting from, I'm going to take his half. And either way, I'm allowed to take half. So it says the Gemara here also, the Kohen is collecting 5 slum from the estate, which is together with these 2 sons, which the obligation is on one of these 2 sons. He could say the same thing. He says, look, if you're the firstborn son, so I'm taking from your portion. If your brother's the firstborn, so then I'm taking from his portion. But you guys can figure it out together between the 2 of you. But either way, from this property, which is jointly owned by the 2 of you, and one of you has the obligation, I could take the 5 slum from that son's partnership. However, in this interpretation, Amar Rava, he asks as follows. He says, wait, Mechdi, let's see. Nichsi devar inish, which we're talking about that it's not the father's obligation. They didn't divide the inheritance yet, but it's a partnership between the 2 of them. And there's never obligation that the Kohen could collect from the father, it's on the sons. Now, the properties of a person, nichsi devar inish, inun arvin bay, they're basically his guarantors, which is the person owes the money, but his properties will then back him up, just like a guarantor. Now, says Rava Miyakamidi, is there such a thing, diladidei le matzi tavale, that him, the person, the debtor, you cannot claim from him? Because like we said, each one could say, well, it wasn't me, it was him. And each one could say, it was not him. So you can't really collect from the person himself. Ularv matzi tavale, but from the guarantor, which is the property, you will be able to collect your claim from. But what's not, in the Mishnah Babasa that says you can't do that. The Mishnah says, hamal ves chaveri al de'arv. Someone lends money to his friend through a guarantor, which is if he doesn't pay up, the guarantor will pay. Lo yifrim in the arv, he's not allowed to collect from the guarantor. Now what does that mean? But Kaimelin, we explain what that means is, to lo yifrim in the arv tchila. You're not allowed to go ahead and initially collect from the guarantor unless you first could claim from the borrower. He doesn't have what to pay up. Then you could collect from the guarantor. But if you can't collect from the borrower himself, you can't go to the guarantor. Now here you have a case where the person you're collecting from, you have no claim against. Because he could say, well, I'm not the firstborn. Yet, but from the guarantor of his, which is the property, you're saying that he could collect from? But that's not possible. So Elamah Rava, rather Rava gives a different interpretation. We're not talking about that the father died within 30 days. We're talking about that the father died after 30 days, which is, let's say, the obligation was, and we had asked, if that's the case, then in all situations, even if they divide already, we should be able to collect from the estate because it's obligation on the estate. Says Rava, you're right. V'idik and nichsei tuv and if there was a lot of property here in the father's estate, for sure, even if the sons had already divided, the kohen would be able to take his five slum because the father's estate already had a shibud, had a lien when the father was still alive. So even though this is an oral loan, as we're going to shortly explain, still that could be collected from the inheritors if there would be in the inheritance a large amount like that would fulfill the obligation of the kohen, of the kohen's five slum. But v'hachmeiskin, what are we talking about here in our Mishnah, is kagoin deleke elachomish slum. The whole inheritance is only a five slum. Now, moreover, there's a few prerequisites we're explaining for the to understand the machlekes in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. With the kulei alma istul Ravasi, says the Gemara, and everyone holds of the halachic opinion of Ravasi. The Ravasi, Ravasi says, as is brought in Baba in the first parak in Baba Kama in the first parak in Daf Tesamad Aleph, he says ha'achin shalchalku, when brothers divide inheritance. Now, there's a machlekes how to understand the mechanics of inheritance. Now, Ravasi was in doubt. If we say what's called yesh breira, that retroactively is clarified that what this son is taking from the inheritance was always his, which is essentially what we call Yerusha, or do we say, no, ain't breira, we don't know if this was really his part that was what was given to him from Shemayim, from heaven, to be his inheritance, and maybe the part that he's taking is really the other brother's part, and therefore that makes him into lekech, like as if he's purchasing from the brother. So therefore, it says Ravasi, because of the doubt, we consider half of every inheritance to be half inheritance, and half it we consider to be as it was purchased from the other brothers. Moreover, the kuliyama everyone holds, milva ksuva b'tayra, regarding a loan, so to speak, that's written in the Torah, meaning, for example, like the law of pinya ben, which is there's an obligation of giving five slum that the Torah gives the right to the kain, so it's like a loan, which is a debt that's owed by a person to someone else, which is written in the Torah. As we continue to base, lafka ksuv b'shtar dami. It's not like it was written in a document, which there's many different halachas regarding a debt that's written in a document versus an oral loan. Everyone agrees that it's considered like an oral loan. It's not like it's written in a document, although we know about it, the Torah says, but it's not like a documented thing. Moreover, udekula mislu drav papa, another stipulation, everyone agrees to the halacha of Rav Papa. Dan Rav Papa, he says, milva peh, when you have an oral loan, which is how we're describing this milva ksuv b'tayra, this chiyuv mitzvah pinya ben, oral loan, gave him in a yershin, when the person, the borrower, dies, you could collect from his inheritors, but ve'ina gave him al kuchas, you cannot collect from consumers, as the Gemara elsewhere explains this opinion, on one hand, because of, well, people are not going to go ahead and have business anymore, because they don't know about oral loans, they know about only documented loans. But that's where Rav Papa says, that you could collect from inheritors, and not from consumers. Now, again, what's the machlekes of Rabbi Yehuda? Is when we say there's an obligation of giving five slum to the kain, does that mean that? But the obligation is not to give half of that amount, as the Gemara explains. Rameir Sabe, he held chamish v'loy chatzi chamish. The Torah says to give five slum to the kain, not half of five. So therefore, in the case that we're describing, Rameir held, as we said in the Mishnah, that the sons are going to be exempt. Why? And again, that was only when they divided. They said when they didn't divide, say what they gave is that what they gave is that was obligated. But since they already divided the inheritance, now, as we explained from Ravasi, he holds every time that inheritors divide an estate, half of it is considered bought, like a lekech, and half of it is considered a Yerusha. Now, so therefore, since like we explained, the case was told about that the whole inheritance was only five slum, so in laws, in terms of Yerusha, because only half is Yerusha, half is Lekucha. In terms of Yerusha, there's only a Yerusha of 2.5 slum between the two brothers. Because like we said, from the half that's Lekuchas, he can't collect anything. Why? Because that's the other halacha that we said. That a Milva Peh, which is what we're considering the Milva Ksuv B'Torah, which is the Pinya Ben, an oral loan, cannot be collected, like our Papa said, from Lekuchas. So therefore, all that could be collected from this inheritance is Chatzi Chamesh. Rameir says, then they're exempt. Because there's no obligation of chatzi chamesh. It's only if there's five slum, not half of that amount. But Rabbi Yehuda sover chamesh of avelo chatzi chamesh. No, Rabbi Yehuda held no. The chiva mitzvah ben is up to five slum. If you don't have, then even half of that is also. And therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda says that they're going to be chayiv, is going to be that half. That's Yerusha. That's machlekes between your mei and Rabbi Yehuda. And that is the Gemara ihachi. If that's the case, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when he says that there's an obligation, and they're going to be obligated, even if they divide already. As Rav is explaining, it's only going to be half. So then, Rabbi Huda Omer, Nischaivu Nechasim, So what the words in our Mishnah is, Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, the estate is obligated. But that wording doesn't seem to be appropriate. As the Gersa takes out the next two letters, the Nun and the Saf, Chayiv Gavrami Boyelei. It should say, the person is obligated. In other words, what it should have said is, Rabbi Yehuda says that, no, Chayav, they are exempt. Meaning, not like Rabbi Meir says they're totally exempt, but rather because he holds, even Chatzi Chamesh, they're going to be Chayiv. But it's not appropriate to say, Neschaibu Hanachasim. Why? Because that's not the main idea that Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing. Rabbi Meir also agrees, Neschaibu Hanachasim, that the estate is obligated. Because since they hold that, the way we're describing the case is that he died after 30 days. So Remeir also agrees that, everyone agrees that Nechasim had, because the father had the obligation when he was still alive. Rather, it's because of the division that they divided and it became Lekuchis. That's what we're saying, that the Kohen loses out. But even according to Behud himself, from what the Nechasim are obligated, it's not the whole Nechasim. He also agrees that you lose out half. The main idea is regarding, but do you have to give half or not? But don't say, Neschaib and Nechasim, that's not the main idea. Rabbi Meir would also agree to that. That's question number one on this interpretation. Void, moreover, Tanya Lind the Bryce said, actually, not like we're saying. We're saying, Behuda holds, oh, the reason why Yechaib is because he holds Chamesh Afel Chatzi Chamesh. But we actually see in the next Bryce, he actually does not hold to that. We learn in the Bryce, Behuda Eimer, he says, Ha'achin Shechalk, brothers that are dividing the inheritance, and it's the case that we're describing in our Mishnah that both of them were not sure which one was the firstborn son. So it says Rabbi Yehuda as follows. If each son has 2.5 slum, which for the total of the two of them would be 5 slum, which is the obligation of the amount of the pinya ben, because 10 zuz is 2.5 sela, each zuz is a sela. So then chayav, then they're obligated to give the 5 slum to the kain. Vimlav p'turin, but if they don't have that amount, then they're exempt. So it explains the Gemara as follows. What does it mean that each son has from the inheritance 10 zuz, meaning 2.5 slum? Ilema bein dirusha bein dilekuchas. If you think it means to say both of the Yerusha half and of the lekuach part, and this that we're saying that, oh, then they're going to be chayiv, it means half of the inheritance. But you said, and the reason why we're saying this is because you said that according to everyone, everyone agrees to Rav Asi and to Rav Papa, which is everyone agrees half is lekuach, and because of Rav Asi, and everyone agrees to Rav Papa that, okay, the lekuach part cannot be collected from. So then, what would that be telling us? Oh, v'chamesh v'afil chatzi chamesh. So that would be saying that even though each one has only 10, which is 2.5 slum, and from that 10 you can only collect half of that, so that would be telling us that still Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you're going to be chayiv because he holds you right. Even chatzi chamesh, even if it's not going to be chamesh, it's going to be half of that. Still, you have to give that to the kayin. But if that's the case, ihachi, then my iriya sara. Then why is Rabbi Yehuda saying that if each one has 10 zuz, that then, oh, they're going to have to give it because you could even have to give chatzi chamesh. But then the fila b'tzir masara nami. And even if they have less than 10 each, even if they only have, let's say, 8 zuz each, where then the kayin's only going to get not 2.5 slum, but only 2 slum, still he's going to take it. Because since he's saying the kohen takes even less than 5, so whatever there is, he's going to take. Because that's this that we're saying, it's not only chamesh, but even chatzi chamesh, doesn't mean specifically half of 5. It would even mean a quarter of 5 or a third of 5. So then why does he say, oh, im lav, if they don't have 10 zuz each, then they can be pater. Why? What do you mean? You hold it doesn't have to be chamesh lam. It doesn't even have to be half of 5. It could be a quarter or a third. Elab shita, rather it's obvious. The reason why he's saying asar zuz each is because asar zuz dirusha lezeh v'asar zuz dirusha lezeh, that each son, when they split inheritance, has 10 zuz of inheritance part. Meaning besides the half that's considered the lekuach part. Where that means to say that the total of the two of them, of the Yerusha part, would be 5 slum of Yerusha. And that's when they would have the obligation of giving it to the kain. So we see actually to the contrary that Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, you have to have 5 slum to give to the kain, but if you have less than that, if you have half, then you're not going to be obligated, which refutes the previous interpretation. We said that that's the machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda holds that chamesh afel chatzi chamesh, afel chatzi chamesh. So the Rebbe says the Gemara, you're right. The kuli alma chamesh afel chatzi chamesh. Everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda, that the obligation is to give 5 slum to the kain, not half. You don't have 5, then that's not fulfilling the obligation. Then there's no such obligation. Not Bahacha, but in our Mishnah, so what are they disagreeing about? B'derav Asi v'rav Papa k'mifliki. The machlekes is in two of the assumptions that we assume that they both agree to. They're disagreeing in those two halachas, which is Rav Meir holds of both Rav Asi and Rav Papa, like we explained. So since we're saying that there was only five slum in the whole inheritance, so he said that the kohen is not going to take anything, because that means to say that the brothers are dividing it, but in the brothers' division, only half is applicable because the other half is lekuchas. So that's going to be chatzi chamesh. So that we said everyone agrees to that there's no such obligation to give a chatzi chamesh. But Rabbi Huda holds like either one of those two am I wrong. Either he holds like Rav Asi, or yes, half of it is considered lekuchas, but it doesn't hold like Rav Papa. Rather, he holds that even a milvah peh, even the oral loan, which is what a milvah ksuv b'shtar of that opinion ben is considered oral loan, is gaivim lekuchas. You could collect from lekuchas, and that's why he could take all of it. And therefore, it's going to be a total chamish, and that's what holds it's going to be chayv. Or the other way around. No, he holds like Rav Papa, but it doesn't hold like Rav Asi. Rather, he considers the whole thing as inheritance, and not like lekuchas, and that's why he could take the whole thing. Now, based on this, that interpretation would come out to explain the halacha, the b'raisa of Rabbi Yehuda, when he says that if this one has 10 zuz and this one has 10 zuz, what it means to say that in the totality of each one, there's 10 zuz, then they're going to have to give all of their nechasim to the kayin, because it's all Yerusha, or even if it's lekuchas, you still have to give from the lekucha part. But if not, meaning, if the sum total doesn't have five slime, then they're going to be exempt, because yes, even if Yehuda agrees, chamesh b'lei chatzi chamesh. Now, the Ikedim Asni La Sefer, there are those who learned this whole discussion that we just had in the Mishnah, which the first version had it discussing the opinion of Rav Meir, has the same really discussion, just starting off from the other opinion, that of Rabbi Yehuda, which is the end, which what we call the end of the Mishnah, the Bar Plukta. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, he disagrees with Rav Meir. He says that even if they divided already, no, Nischaivu HaNechasim, the estate already has the obligation, and they have to pay it up to the kain. Says the Gemara, as in the first version, the Misa Avemes, when did the father die? If you say he died after they were already 30 days old, what? And okay, so that we could understand Rabbi Yehuda. So the estate already has the lien, and they have to fulfill that. So Mechlal de Remeir, but the inference would then be that Remeir would hold, suffer, he holds that, even though it's after 30 days, but if the son's already divided, then they're exempt. Why? But the estate already has the lien, they have to fulfill that obligation. Rather, we'd be talking about that. No, the father died within 30 days. But then we're back to the question. So kichalku, then how do we understand Rabbi Yehuda? Even if they divided, why does Rabbi Yehuda then obligate the nechasim, the estate? Remember, there's no obligation that was ever took effect on the estate of the father because it was before 30 days. It was on them. But leizel gabi hai litchai, but let him go to one son and he's going to push him away and say, well, I wasn't the firstborn. But gabi hai litchai, and go to the other son and he'll reject him. Meaning, if they didn't divide it, then you could say that example we said on Amud Aleph. But if you're saying that they already divided already, so then what are they coming? What's he coming to collect from them? So Amud Biyamin, he says, this tells us as follows, similar to the concept of Amud Aleph, but a little different. Shnei Yisab ben Shimon Shahoyu Be'erach is a similar idea, which is when you have a doubt when you're collecting from two people who you're not sure which one it is, where in this case, it's like you have two people with the same name who live in the same city. So this creditor is trying to collect, but each one is saying, I'm not that person. Now, one of these Yosef ben Shimon went, and he bought a field from his other friend who has the same name, Yosef ben Shimon. Oh, now the creditor could collect from that one who bought the field from his other fellow who has the same name. Why? Because the Amalei can tell us follows. If it's you who owes me the money, I'm going to take what you have, your portion, your estate, which is owed to me. If it's your friend who really owes me the money, the field that you took from him was already, I already had a lien on it before you took it. And that's always the classic halacha that the Baal Chayv could collect from those nechasim mishabadim, which were then sold to someone else. So either way, I'm going to get it from you. So that's what the Gemara says. Here also, we hold that the brothers that divide in the state, they are lukuchais. Rabbi Yehuda holds that they're considered consumers. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that ein breira. No, there's no retroactive clarification. We don't know if this was his inheritance. Therefore, it actually comes out in the mechanics of Yerusha that really everyone's buying it from the other brother. And that's Rabbi Yehuda holds that they're going to be obligated because of the same concept of lukuchas, where, I don't know, it's either you or the brother that you bought from, but every time the Yerusha is buying from the other brothers, so either one, it's either you or it's the brother that you bought from, similar to the case that we gave, the Yosef ben Shimon who went and bought a field from his friend, and therefore, even if it was divided, yeah, but you bought it from the brother, and therefore, I could collect from you. However, Amar Rav, he asks, and this is similar to the discussion of the first version, says, Mechti, let's see. Nechsoy devar inish inun arvenbe. A person's property is his guarantor, etc., etc. Where Bakula Kalishna Kama, and this is really the same discussion as in the first version, which we kept on going explaining what is exactly the understanding, how can you collect from a guarantor more than the person itself, and when the whole discussion, until the conclusion of the sugi was, as in the second version, that the machlekes of Menyam Yehuda is in this opinions of Rav Asi and Rav Papa, which we explained that according to Rav holds on both of them, and therefore it's going to be chamesh bli chatzi chamesh, whereas according to Yehuda, he holds like either one and not the other, and therefore it's going to come out to be chamesh, and therefore he says, that's why you could go ahead and collect the chamesh from the two sons. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding when there's an element of doubt regarding the laws of the Pinya Ben. So the Mishnah says, in contrast to the previous Mishnah, which was talking about a man with one wife, here we're talking about Shteinash. If a man has, one man has two wives, Shalei Bichru, and both of them had not yet given birth ever before, V'yoldishnei Zachar, and then in the cave where it got mixed up in the birth, both of them gave birth to a firstborn boy. So, Nason Yud Slum, the kind. So, this father has to give 10 slum to the kind because it doesn't make a difference which woman it is, but each one had a firstborn male, and that's the Petzerechem, and therefore there's obligation of Pinya Ben on both these boys. But Mace Echem Hen Betech Shleshim Yayim, but if one of the sons died within 30 days, so Imle Kain Echenosin, if the father had given the redemption of these two sons to the same Kain, he gave this 10 slum, so Yachsulay Chamish Slum. So, that Kain has to give him back 5 slum, because since one of those sons died within 30 days, so it was retroactively revealed that that son was what's called a nafel, a non-viable child, and the kain took it inappropriately because it turns out that there was never an obligation of Pinya Ben on that son because he didn't survive to day 30. Now, but vim l'shnei kahanim nasim, but if let's say the father gave the Pinya Ben to two different kahanim, then ein yochel lahitzim yadim. Then he can't go ahead and collect back from any one of them because each one could reject them and say, no, the Pinya Ben that I'm having is from the one that survived. And you can't prove that I'm the one from the dead son, and therefore he gets to keep it. Now, let's say Zachar Nekeva. Let's say this man who has these two wives, they both gave birth at the same time, but we don't know which is from which. One gave birth to a boy, one gave birth to a girl. Oi, Shnei Zachar Nekeva. Or there were two boys and one girl born to these two women in the cave. But we don't know exactly who came out from what. So Allah is nice and chamish slum the kain. Either way, he's going to have to give 5 slum to the kain because either way, at least there's one boy who was a firstborn boy. Because if one of the women gave birth to two boys, so the first boy is the bechor. If one of them gave birth to a boy and a girl, so it comes out that means the other one gave birth to a boy alone and he's the firstborn. But the boy that was born with the girl would be pater, would be exempt because maybe the girl came out first and hamaytzimecha b'labrai, the kain would have to prove that and he can't prove that. But therefore, either way you look at it, he has to give only 5 slum to the kain. But let's say shtein nekeves v'zachar. Let's say these two women gave birth to two girls and one boy. Shnei zachar v'shtein nekeves, or two boys and two girls. In kain l'kain klum. So then, in that situation, the kain's not going to get anything because you could say that maybe the two girls from these two women came out first, and there was no firstborn boy. And therefore, the father's exempt. Now says the Mishnah, achas bichra v'achas shalei bichra. Different case. Let's say from his two wives, one is the first time giving birth, and the other one she already had given birth before. The older Shnei Zacharim, and these two women give birth to two boys. So here too, Nesin Chamish Lam Lekain, he has to give 5 slum, because, okay, the one that didn't give birth once ever before, we don't know which is her son, but there was a firstborn son. Meis Echad Mem Tech Shlesh Mem, let's say one of these two boys dies within 30 days, so Av Patu, the father's exempt, because he could say, the firstborn son is the one that passed away, and the one that survived was not a firstborn. Now, regarding this case of when there's two women, one that's the first time giving birth and one not, and there were two boys born, says the Mishnah, Meis Ha'av, let's say that father passes away, Vabanim Kayamim, and the boys survive. Now, each boy doesn't know if he's the firstborn son or not. So Meirim, he says, as same as in the previous Mishnah, says, Im Nasnu Ad Shalei Chalku, if they gave from the properties before they divided the father's inheritance, so Nasnu, they gave it. Because like we said, that's the obligation that they have. V'mlav paturin, but if not, then they're exempt. As we explained that case, it's only 5 slum of the inheritance, as we explained it just before. Rabbi Yudam, he says, no, neschayv nechasim, he says, no, that the estate already has the obligation, again, because he holds like Rav Asi and Rav Papa, so therefore, he holds like only one and not the other, and therefore it's going to be obligation on the whole thing, again, whereas Rav Meir holds like Rav Asi and Rav Papa, so therefore it's going to be chamesh v'lechatzi chamesh, and therefore he holds they're exempt, and Rabbi Yudam holds that they're going to be chayv. Yeah, continues the Mishnah, let's say, from these two women, there was a zachar in the keva. there was one gave birth to a boy, one gave birth to a girl, where you could say there were two women, one had given birth once before, one not. You could say, oh, the one that it's our first time giving birth, she gave birth to the girl. And the other one, the boy was from, she had already given birth once before. So you could say there is no firstborn male over here. So in l'kayin klum, so the kayin's not going to get anything. Now it continues the Mishnah. Shtei nashim shel shnei anashim shlei bikru. If there were two women giving birth in this room of two different men, and they had never given birth before. The yoldei beis charam, and they give birth to two boys. So zenosh nechamish lam is kayin, but zenosh nechamish lam, each one doesn't know which one is his child, but he knows his wife gave birth to a firstborn son, and therefore each one has to give five shlam to the kain. Now, meis echad mehem, let's say one of these boys died b'toich shleishim within 30 days. So im l'kain echad nasnu, if they both gave their five shlam to the same kain, so yachzur lehem chamish shlam. So he has to give back to the two of them, one grouping of five shlam, and then the two fathers will divide amongst themselves, because either way, the two of them, there was only one obligation. So we don't know who, but then he has to give them back together five slum. But im l'shneikan nasim, but if let's say each father gave his five slum to a different kain, then einu nechayin l'haytzim yadim, so then they can't go ahead and collect it back from his hands, because each kain could say, well, the money I have is because of the living Bukhar, and the one that you gave to me didn't die. And here Hamaytzim Echav El-Rai would say that the father is trying to collect back the money from the kain, the onus of proof would be on them. Let's say from these two fathers who had these two wives who were giving birth the first time, gave birth to Zachar Unikeva, one gave birth to a male, one gave birth to a female. So in this situation, the Avos Baturin, the two fathers are exempt because each one could tell the kain, well, mine was the girl. We don't know which one, so the kain can't collect from it. But Vaben Chayev Liftas Esatzmi, obviously the boy himself, although his father, because we don't know which is his father, could exempt himself, because of Moitz Mechel Araya, but the son himself, he is a firstborn son. When he gets older, he has to redeem himself. Let's say Shtei Nekevis V'Zachar. Let's say these two women gave birth to a total of two girls and one boy, which you could say that one of them gave birth to a girl, and the second one gave birth to a boy and a girl, but maybe the girl came out first, so therefore the kohen's not going to get anything, because you could say that the one who gave birth now the first time gave birth to a girl. Or if there's two girls and two boys that were born, again, in Kalan Kayan Klum, the Kohen's not going to get anything because we don't know if there was any firstborn son at all. Now, Achas Bikra, the Achas Shalei Bikra, Shal Shnei Anashim. Let's say there was one woman who it's our first time, one that's not her first time, of two different men. The Yoldei Shnei Zachar, and they gave birth to two boys. So, Zeh Shalei Bikra Ishtai Naisin Chamesh Lom Lekayin. So, the one who his wife had never given birth before, we don't know which is his son, but since these two boys were born, he has to give five of some to the kain. But let's say Zachon the cave, let's say the two women, one gave birth to a boy, one gave birth to a girl, and we don't know which one, so in kind of the kain klum. So the kain's not going to get anything because the one who it's his wife's first time could say, well, maybe mine was the girl. So therefore, they wouldn't have to give anything to the kain. Now the Gemara wonders, Maishno Shnei Kahanim, why did we say that when there's two different Kahanim, and there's these two fathers, that we said, oh, if there's one kain, so then the kain has to give it back and they'll split the five slum. But when it's two kanim, oh, then we said that they don't get anything back. Why? Because the azla gabe hayu matchle, you go to this kain, he'll say, well, I'm from the living son. The azla gabe hayu matchle, and you go to the other one, he'll say, I'm from the living son. But then that's the gemara, the kain echenami. So then even when it was one kain who took from these two different fathers, you should say the same thing. Leiz l'gabe hay, when this father goes to him, v'lit chayi. So the kain will push them away and they'll say, it's not your son that died, rather it's from your friends. And you have nothing, no claim against me because the money that you gave me was from the living son. When the other father comes to me, he can reject him too. So why is it different between two kahanim or even one kain? So Shmuel says, and we referenced this on the previous staff, as we continue to talk about Mem Tesem and Alf, the Ba Baharsha. What we're talking about over here is where the two fathers wrote a harsha, a permission of collection for the other one, for the other one's properties. And therefore, the one who gets the harsha in his hand, he comes and claims from the kohen and says, Mamal Avshach, either way, you have to give me back five slum. If it was my son who passed away, so then give me mine. If it's my friends who died, so give me his, because he gave me harsha, permission to collect from you. So therefore, that's why it said if it's one kohen, then they can get it. Two kohen, so then we say, no, it's just you, the other one didn't give me. But if it's the same kohen, that's what we said, because of harsha. That is the Gemara, but the Amri Nardoi, but the Nardoi said, Loikazvin, and the Gir says, Urkasa, which is the referring to Harsha, you're not allowed to write a Harsha, which is what you want to explain for the Lacha of our Mishnah, Amataltli, on movable items. Now why? In contrast to land, movable items, it's not extant. Land is always there, so we see it. But to write Harsha on a movable item, that it looks like the witnesses are signing falsely, because maybe this guy doesn't have what he's writing Harsha for, and the witnesses are signing falsely, so we say not let it write it, or Harsha Amatatlin. So here also, we're talking about monies over here, where five slum are movable items, so we said you can't write a Harsha. How do you explain that's the halach of our Mishnah? So the Gemara, Hanami Lehechad de Kafe. When did we say you can't write a Harsha on a movable item? That's when the borrower is denying to the lender, and then is when we say that, okay, so the lender can collect with a harsha, because that looks like a lie, because he's denying it. And we don't know then even if the lender really has anything by the borrower. So how could he write harsha? How could someone sign, oh, what it's owed by for this guy, I'm collecting from him? It looks like a lie. But where there's no denial, here the kohen's not denying, we just don't know, then they can write a harsha, and therefore that's the way we're describing the case of the Mishnah with one kohen with a harsha. Now the Mishnah said that Zachar Nekeva, if they gave birth to a male and a female, so the Giris is actually Ha'avis Peturin, then the fathers are exempt, taking out the words Inkan L'Kayin Klum, which is the idea, but saying that they're exempt because we're saying that each one could say that, oh, mine was the girl. Tan Rav Huna taught in the Braisa regarding this case of two women, of two men, who never gave birth before, and they gave birth to Shnei Zacharim in the cave, to two boys and a girl, but it was in the cave where we don't know who gave birth to what. Said Rav Huna in the Braisa, he quoted the Braisa, Inkan L'Kohen Klum. The Kohen's not going to get anything. Now this is a big chiddush, because even though, either way you look at it, one of them is for sure a firstborn son, because if one of them gave birth to two boys, so the first boy is a Bukhar. And if one of them gave birth to a boy and a girl, so okay, that one we can't say, because maybe the girl was first, but that comes out that the other one, who only gave birth to a boy, well that one's a Bukhar. Even so, the Braisa says that son does not have to redeem himself. Why? Because he could tell the kohen, maybe I'm not the firstborn. Maybe that other boy was the only boy. You're right, one of them is Mamad Meshach, but who said it's me? And therefore the kohen's not going to get anything. Now, says the Gemara, B'tani Didan, the reason why the Tana of Abraisa didn't quote this case of this Braisa, which is a fine novelty in Halacha, is because Kivin de Bishnea Noshim Hu de Mishkachas. You could only have this case of this bracelet, Rav Huna is quoting, by a case of two men with two wives. But Be'ish Echad Vishtein Noshim Le Mishkachas. You can't have it in a situation when there's only one man and it's two of his wives. Because since, like we're saying, Memanam Shach, one of them is a firstborn, then the father, either way, would have to give five slum to the kohen. You're right, the son wouldn't have to. But the father would have to give it. So therefore, Lemastanli, therefore the Tana of our Mishnah doesn't quote this case, because all the cases that the Tana of our Mishnah quotes, when it says, Inkan L'Kohen Klum, the Kohen doesn't get anything, is equal whether we're talking about one man with two wives, or two wives of two men. And therefore, our Mishnah describes a case like a Zachar Nekeva, where then we can't obligate, and we can't obligate either one, we don't know which father it is, but we're not going to quote the case where, although we said that, although we're not going to obligate them, but that's actually the case we're going to obligate the son, because Manav Shach, he's the firstborn. But the flip side, the inverse of that, to say a case where the sons are going to be exempt, but we only said it where also the father's going to be exempt, which is only, it's only if it's one man or two men, but in the case that we're describing this Braisa Rav Huna, if it's actually one man with two wives, actually then the father would be obligated, and therefore we didn't quote that case in our Mishnah.